Turn, please, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll stand together for the reading of God's word. Let's all be upstanding in respect for our God and his precious word to us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we'll read verses 1 to 4. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Back over into 1 Thessalonians, please, in chapter 1, the apostle gives thanks to the Lord for them. This is the earlier letter that he wrote to them. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labour of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God the Father. May the Lord add his blessing to his word. Let's pray. We ask, Lord, that you would this morning open your precious word to us. Grant to us, Lord, the strength and blessing that comes from thy word. We pray, Lord, that your word today will help us and increase our faith. And Lord, that we would believe great things of you, that we would attempt great things, and that we would move forward in growth, we pray. Thank you for bringing us together today, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your precious word. Bless us now and open the word to us. Lord, we are totally reliant upon you this day to accomplish through your word your purposes, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, as we consider these believers, and in particular, their growth in faith. Now, this morning, as you've come to the house of God to hear the word of God, it's wonderful. We all come in a different situation, a different position, as you were, a different degree of faith. And we all come together as differing in these areas. But I pray, God, that we would be those that are growing in faith. It is normal to grow, amen? I see these little ones coming in every week. They come in, and to me, they look taller. They look bigger. No, the parents probably don't see them growing as much. They're feeding them, you know. They keep putting the input in, but they perhaps don't see it. But they all of a sudden, they're growing and they're getting bigger. I've got a grandson now. I don't even know how old is he? Little grandson. He's called after the local footy team, Jet. His name is, I don't know where they got that from, but it's something to do with French. How old is he? Melody's just been up there looking and helping look after these little ones. 8 months, and I saw the pictures of him. Boy, he's growing to be a real bruiser. You know, he's growing, and that's normal for him to do that. Amen? Now, at my stage, it's not good for me to be growing. Amen? Okay, you can understand that. But now we're talking about faith. Is your faith growing? We need to do that. We need to have a growing faith. For the growing trials of life, the growing situations that we find ourselves in, we need to be growing in faith. Our faith should be increasing. The apostle was encouraging this church in Thessalonica. He'd heard that they'd grown. Their faith had grown. It was very real. That the congregation had grown and their faith had grown. And we thank the Lord for a growing congregation. But how we pray for growing faith. Because church, as we grow, we are going to be called upon to take greater challenges. Amen. Our boys are out there in the Solomons. They've made it into the newspaper. Praise God. They made it into the local newspaper. As you know, there's all those charismatics flown out there in their new fancy jets. And they're down there on the tarmac patting their fancy new jets, these three charismatic preachers. And there's a bunch of Baptist preachers out there preaching the word of God.
Amen.
And not without attention in the media, praise God. I was really praying that they would make a big impact, amen. And they are representing your faith out there on the field. Your faith needs to grow. We need to grow with what God is doing. Our faith needs to grow. We have a pastor with a big faith. We have a pastor that has stepped out by faith and come up here because he believed there needed to be a lighthouse for the gospel. And having come, how important it is, so many religious people. Newcastle is full of religion, but there are not that many that have true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith needs to grow with the growth of the work of God, and the Lord has some greater things for us in the days ahead as we walk forward and move forward. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 5, Luke 17 and 5, here it is, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. What a good prayer. What a good request. When did you last ask the Lord for that? Lord, increase our faith. And they as a group realized that they needed to be increased in faith. Lord was just teaching them a lesson about forgiveness. Forgiveness and faith go hand in hand. You won't be able to forgive anybody unless your faith is strong in the Lord's goodness and the forgiveness that he has issued to you, that then you need to pass on to others, and that it will have a wonderful effect in the lives of others. If your brother trespass against you, the situation was the Lord teaching here in verse 4. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And here's probably a work situation where somebody offends you seven times. Maybe you're in a work situation, Christian, and they're blaspheming the Lord's name. And now you know it's more than seven times. Are you going to forgive them? Well, the Lord suggests that they need to do some repenting over things, but also the apostles needed to forgive people. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, going to forgive folk their sins against you, you're going to love them. I think it's a good principle that even if they don't own up, even if they don't confess to it, even if they don't apologize for it, forgive them anyway. You need to forgive them more than they need the forgiveness in many ways, so that your attitude toward them is right and pleasing unto the Lord. Increase our faith. And I think that's a wonderful prayer. Now, it is the Lord that we must address. It is to the Lord we must address our prayer. Increase our faith. Because that's so important. Faith comes from the Lord. Our faith then in the Lord Jesus Christ results in our salvation. Have faith in God. What must I do to be saved? In Acts 16 and verse 30. What was he told to do? Go out and do good things? He was a jailbird anyway, for starters. What must I do? No, he was the jail keeper. Like I said, the jail keeper's in jail more than the jailbirds, amen? It's a life sentence there, and one of our brothers here is doing that sort of work. But here, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is so important. If you don't know that you're saved and you're not sure that you're going to heaven and you've got Christ in your life, what you need to do is put your faith in Christ, to repent of trusting in yourself and trust in him. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And our faith needs to be in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. the work of the cross of Calvary and our faith in that, are you trusting the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, well, I don't know that I've got that kind of faith. Well, you have, because at the moment you're trusting in yourself. So why not make a transference? Trusting in yourself is dangerous because I don't know if you're anything like me. I'm not perfect, amen? If you know, if you're trusting in yourself, you're going to let yourself down, amen? Going to let yourself down because you're trusting in your own abilities. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Saviour. He is the one that can give you eternal life. But you have to turn to Him, repenting of your sins and calling upon the Lord. Over in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, the scriptures teach us about the importance of faith and the growth of faith. And they tell us how to grow in faith, how to grow in faith, over in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. 10 and 17. We should know this one by heart. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How do you increase your faith? Get into the Word of God. Amen. The Bible stands. The Bible is the Word of God. It is foundational. The truths of God are there. The workings and history of God's working with men is there from beginning unto the end. Now and in the future and eternally so, in the return of Christ and the future events and the reign of Christ for eternity and our place with Him in that. How do we grow our faith? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went out in all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Worldwide evangelism took place as a result of the Lord's work with His apostles, and their preaching the gospel and the spread of the gospel worldwide, and how God worked during that time. And the gospel is still going out. People need to hear the word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher, the Bible says? And how shall they preach except they be sent? How beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The word of God needs to go out. People need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. You say, well, why are churches not growing these days? Why are they closing? Why are things so bad around about the churches? You know why? No go, no low. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you. You want to grow, you want blessings, you want a church that grows, get involved in the outreach of the gospel of Jesus Christ, getting it out into the community. We have a big outreach into the community. We have a big outreach happening down on the streets of Newcastle, knocking doors through the suburbs of Newcastle. And then we're on the media, social media as well, whatever you might call it. And a number of people are looking in to see what's going on and to hear the preaching that's going out from this place. You must have that vital outreach. You need to have that. That takes place when we believe God. When we believe God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Until you heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for your sins and that He rose again and that He is Lord of all, until you heard of His precious blood to atone for your sins, you were still in your sins. Somebody came and told you. I thank God for a brother who told me the gospel and who dragged me along, even though I was rather reluctant, to good meetings and tried to get me along to prayer meetings and tried to get me along to preaching services and tried to get me along to Bible studies and tried to get me along on hikes where they spent most of the time sitting down reading the Psalms as they hiked along. And thank God for someone that that pointed me to Christ and the gospel in life and in word. And then, of course, to hear the preaching of the word of God. I was somewhat reluctant. I was somewhat shy. I was somewhat withdrawn and somewhat embarrassed about my situation. I had a big negative self-image which I carried around all the time. And I'm thankful that I got under the preaching of the Word of God and I heard the preacher say, Zacchaeus, come down. And how the Lord went to humble Zacchaeus, a broken man, a hated man, a tax collector, and a publican hated by the people and defrauding the people. And he said, come on down. And this man came to the Lord Jesus Christ and put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the call was, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. I'm thankful that back in May in 1964, I bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. I responded in an old-fashioned invitation. I went down and knelt at an old-fashioned mourner's bench. You must have gone to a Baptist church. No, it was an old-fashioned Salvation Army meeting. And Major Christian, he preached the Word of God, and he absolutely glowed, and it was about 85 not out. But he absolutely glowed for the Lord. And I thought in my heart, I need that. I need Christ. And so I came and humbled myself and broken as a sinner before the Lord. And a dear elderly saint of God came and knelt beside me and showed me the Romans Road. And if you don't know the Romans Road, you need to learn it. If you've been saved, you ought to have been on the Romans Road and come to the foot of the cross and receive Christ as your Saviour. And so it was that in that old-fashioned meeting, I was led to Christ. At that old-fashioned mourner's bench. Guess what's happened? Church, the mourner's bench is gone. We're meeting in a public building here. This is our mourner's bench right here, where you're seated, where you bow your heart and receive what the Lord Jesus Christ has for you. So that faith came in Christ by hearing the Word of God. And faith and repentance are bound together. You cannot separate them. When I heard what Christ had done and the sin that I was in, I repented. I had a change of heart and mind about that sin, the sins that I had enjoyed, and then realized that I had sinned against the Holy God and I was bound for the devil's hell and how I needed to be saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it is that I sold my records. I should have had an Ephesians bonfire and burnt the whole lot of them. Amen. Praise God and hallelujah. I learnt that when I got a Bible. I learned about the Ephesian bonfire. And when these Ephesians got saved, they took all their idols and they burnt the whole lot of them and caused a ruckus in town. They made it into the local news, all right. They upset the local business community because they got rid of those idols. They burnt all that thing. Thousands of dollars worth of stuff was burnt in the Ephesian bonfire. If you don't know about it, read the book of Acts and you see that wonderful story happening there where they got rid of all those things that were burdens in their lives. I got rid of those records. I took them down and got money for them. I walked around a few blocks in the city of Adelaide and I found the old-fashioned Christian bookshop and I went downstairs and I bought a King James Bible, hallelujah, and I've stayed in that Bible ever since. I love the Word of God. And so I took that Bible home and Mum was out at work, Dad was out at the races making his investments, losing more than they ever gained, and so the house was empty. I sat down at the kitchen table and hallelujah, praise the Lord, I opened my Bible and began to read the Gospels. And as I saw the Lord Jesus Christ, how amazing that was. And my faith began to grow and I began to believe great things. I believed that God could even take a humble little introverted person and turn them into a preacher. Nobody else believed that very much at the time. The people that knew me, you're going to be a preacher. And then later on, as God went to Bible college then and completed Bible college, and then the Lord really, we had a wonderful meeting with a preacher from the US, a great church planter, and he had sessions on how to plant a church, and that really stirred my heart, and I realized that God wanted me to do that. So I began, the worst thing I did was begin to tell people that God wanted me to start a church. and I thought, what? Anyway, the Lord was blessing. I was in the Word of God. I saw the book of Acts and church planting taking place and people coming to Christ and the gospel going out throughout the world. And the Lord began to working in my heart, and I said, Lord, I want to be part of that. I want to be part of that. I was not only called to the Lord, but I was volunteering to the Lord. Lord, I believe that you can do this, that you can take somebody like me and turn me into a preacher of the truth of God. So faith cometh by hearing, and I saw what God had done, how he had worked. I began to read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and if you haven't been along on the Sunday night sessions, you've really missed something special. And it's been incredible how the Lord has sent in visitors and different people to the Sunday night meetings, and how folk have really enjoyed going through these great men of faith in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And we put out little study guides each week. It's kept the preachers on their toes. There's been five or so preachers involved, kept us on our toes as we've looked at different ones that are mentioned here. And as we have sought to preach and to teach about their lives, and it's all down on, what would you call it, down where is it? Where can they get it on computer? Bible Institute page on the website. You can get all those evening messages. If you've missed the different characters, you can get a hold of them and you could get over through that. I could take you through that now, you know. All of that. Now, I'll just mention that this chapter is a chapter about faith, chapter 11. You want to grow your faith. See what God has done with men in the past and women in the past. In some cases, most unlikely people. In some cases, people that muffed most of it, that didn't do right most of it, but then they came through in faith and did what the Lord intended for them to do with their lives. These wonderful men of faith. You see, in this chapter 11, God is seeking to teach us about what faith is. What is faith? And look at chapter 11 of Hebrews then, just quickly. Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith must come first. Faith then that sees that God has a plan and a purpose and that he has something in mind and that he is going to bring it to pass. Somewhere or another, somebody thought that they were going to produce books. Okay? Line books. All right? And they were going to produce line books. My wife says there's too blue for you, this one. It's a bit of a girly blue. Well, whatever. It was cheap. It was cheap, brother. And $2. $2 down at Aldi or somewhere. I thought, boy, that's cheap. So I grabbed it because it was cheap. I wasn't looking at the colour. Somewhere along the line, somebody thought that they had a vision by faith. They'd make books. Somewhere or another, a man called Mr. Wycliffe thought that it would be good. By faith, he saw the King James Bible. The Bible in King James English, translated from the original manuscripts. That's the thing about the Bible. It's not a transliteration. It's not just a guessing game. It's not a dynamic equivalency. It is a translation word by word from the original languages. And Mr. Wycliffe had that vision that we would see that in the English language. And so he had faith that this book was going to come into being. Now that was a big faith, because at the time everything was against it. The Roman Catholic Church was thoroughly against it. This microphone is a bit against it as well. That's all right. I'll deal with it if I need to. Why, I've seen preachers throw these microphones on the ground and make the sound people go crazy. Anyway, but somebody had that vision of faith. It was faith. It had to start with faith, because it was non-existent prior to that. And you see it in our lives. We've got to start by faith. That's where it all starts. That's where it begins, but it doesn't end there. And as faith grows, other things come into being as well. And how wonderful it is that we have the Bible in our language, and that it is accurately translated in the King James Bible. Many liberals and unbelievers have attacked the Bible, but don't worry about that. The devil hates the Bible. But we don't worry about that. We don't listen to that. We listen to the Bible as the Word of God, inspired. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And we have the Word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It has substance in its vision, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Faith pleases God. You wonder why you're not being blessed in your life? Where's your faith? How much faith have you got? Have you got faith in the storms? Have you got faith when it's smooth and calm on a beautiful day like this? I've got tremendous faith on a beautiful day like this. It's going to rain, amen? We're going to need rain after this beautiful sunshine like this, and we thank God for both. But here it is then. The elders obtained a good report. God reported good things in glory about these men. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Here it is, the fundamental thing is that the world was created by the Word of God. You know, there's been much conjecture of how this world came about. Some people have said, well, it was a big bang. Well, whenever things go bang around my place, it's usually bad, amen? You're sitting in the lounge room and you all of a sudden hear bang, tile floor in the kitchen, amen? If something goes down, bang, goes into a thousand smithereens. And then you have to try and get all these bits of glass up. You know, and then things come out of the pantry cupboard. You've got a wonderful pantry cupboard. You open the door, and you don't have to look for anything, it falls right out on you. Crash, bang, it goes down, and usually it's disaster. Good things don't come out of big bangs, brothers and sisters. Now then, in some of the latest findings regarding the beginning of the cosmos, the origins of all things, some scientists have come up with this conclusion. These are ungodly scientists that have come up with the conclusion in one of the latest books that's written. You can read about it. And they're saying that this cosmos came into being through sound waves from space. They're getting closer to the truth, aren't they? Through sound waves. God spoke and it came into existence. And by faith we believe that. Now, with science doesn't prove everything. With science, there has to be a degree of what? Faith. A friend of mine got a doctorate in soil science because he investigated the microbiology and the uptake of nutrients out of the soil. How did Dr. John find out that? Well, he was a man of faith for one thing, and he prayed about what he was doing to earn his doctorate. He was praying about this and working very hard on this particular subject. It came out of faith. what he found, because he believed that certain things were happening. And as he began to look at research on it, the evidence was there in what he researched. And it took him a while longer to get his doctorate, because scientists then wanted to test his thoughts in his doctorate. But how did it come about? Through faith. And by the way, that man had a father who had great faith in souls and winning souls, and as a medical doctor won souls to Christ in the office. As he gave people the general medical and said, your problem, dear friend, is not so much physical as it is spiritual. And if you mind, I will share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Dr. Harold shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people were saved. People suffering depressive illnesses and other things came to know Christ as Saviour. And he believed that God would use him in that regard to bring souls to Christ. So we have all these amazing men listed here in the definition of faith. And see, I think sometimes we do not pick up on exactly what the writer of the Hebrews, probably the Apostle Paul, was really getting at there. But isn't it amazing, these people, we often divorce these people from the matter of faith, whereas they are actually an explanation of the definition of faith. And faith that is in the Word of God is not just a belief system. It's not just the mental acceptance of a belief system. It is a personal relationship with truth, and it is acting out and doing the truth. Faith acts upon that. That's why with salvation, faith reaches out and receives what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. There has to be that receiving. As many as received him gave he the power to become the sons of God. So the receiving of Christ is done. Faith must reach out and take what God has. A faith that doesn't reach out and take what God has is not really faith. It is only an idea about faith. But here it is, the faith that receives what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, and the faith that trusts God and moves out on the promises of God as he has said. And you've got these men of faith. You see, with Moses, it was the crossing of the Red Sea. With someone like Noah, it was what? Noah's faith involved what? Come on, help me out here. An ark. His faith was attached to what God had revealed. It was all written and revealed to Noah what he should do. His faith had to get hold of that and take it and begin to start doing something about a boat. Now, the amazing thing about this is that Noah had never seen rain. Not only had he not had a flood, he had never seen rain. And at the time, the earth was watered by a beautiful moist canopy, and like in the morning dews and so forth, the humidity level was just right, and so forth. It was all just a beautiful creation of God and a beautiful garden of God. It was wonderfully placed there, and God was working. And God said to Noah, and God outlined to Noah the building of the ark. And so Noah began to follow those things and began to build that boat. What did the people think of Noah? Same as what they think of you, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. You're crazy, Noah. Well, when the flood came, they changed their mind. But the problem is that they were too late. Their timing was all out of whack. And hell was real to them, but too late. They had not received Christ, and they had not been saved. So Noah, then being warned of God of things not yet seen, get it? Moved with fear, preparing an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Abraham, he went out of the city that he was used to and followed God's leading to a place that he knew not. And there he was to establish a nation and so on. And you have these men of God throughout this book. Wonderful, wonderful men of God. You have Sarah and her faith in an heir. You have Isaac in the covenant of God and God's blessing that one day his people would settle in the land of Israel that we know now, in the land of promise. And there he believed that wonderful covenant of God, and God gave them the land. And God is still working on them being in the land and subduing the land and preparing for the events of the last time. You see, God works and faith is real. We have someone like David who had the problem with Goliath, that ungodly monster that was wanting to kill off the people of God and cause them havoc and destroy them and take over their land. And what did David do? They said, David, put on this armor. Put on all of this armor and stand. If you're going to stand against Goliath, you need all of the worldly armor possible. Put it all on and you'll be able to go out there. Well, David wasn't that silly. He worked out how that armor was going to be on him, how heavy it was going to be, how difficult it was going to be for him to get around. And so he talked to the Lord about it, and the Lord said, five stones swirled that around, and Goliath is there. This guy will never get me. I'm going to tear him limb from limb, you know. Jack the Giant killer, the big, huge guy there. What did the Lord do? Point. That thought never occurred to Goliath before. But on that day, that was it. And God had won a victory. How did David do that? By faith. How did he slew a lion and the bear out there looking after the sheep? By faith. He stepped out and got involved. Oh, this is what we need, beloved, God's children stepping out and getting involved. And you know, losing the reverse gear and going forward. We need to leave that reverse gear behind. It's not helpful whatsoever. And there'll be plenty of people that went down to the wet blanket sale and bought a bunch of wet blankets. And all they want to do is pour wet blankets on the preacher, pour wet blankets on the plan and the program and all the rest of it. And what they're doing is opposing the word of God, friends. They're on the wrong track and they've got the wrong gear engaged, amen? Well, that can happen. People can get in the wrong mode, going in the wrong direction. Faith will take you forward. It has in mind increasing and being strengthened and so on. How we need that. I think of the young years ago when my wife and I were young, and God, number one, he gave us a church. We planted a church and we started on our knees pleading with God. We went out and began to preach. There was nothing there. And God blessed that work over the years. And God gave us a beautiful property, 4 3/4 acres. He gave us buildings. He gave us some great national meetings with over 1,000 people in attendance. God did some great things. How did it start? On the knees, by faith. Believing God could do the impossible, and he could work through sinners such as I, and he could take and use people that were willing and broken before him. Oh, God is a God who honours and blesses faith. How is your faith today? What is your level and quotient of faith? Are you living by faith? We find then that another thing that really is essential for the growth of faith is in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. Hebrews 12, 2. And 12 continues on from 11. It continues to talk about these people of faith. It doesn't say who they are, doesn't give all their names, but talks about people of faith that did amazing things by faith, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, thank God. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Sounds like our days. It's coming back, that sort of stuff. Believe me. And they were stoned and sawn asunder, were tempted and slain with the sword, and wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all having obtained a good report by faith, through faith. Faith pleases God. Received not the promise. They didn't see everything fulfilled in their lifetime, but in the glory, the fulfillment, and in the coming of Christ, the glorious fulfillment of all the promises of God. And God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should be made perfect. We don't altogether understand what that means, but we see their faith. Men of faith, women of faith, unknown warriors. And you're like that as far as God is concerned. He is watching your life and he is recording your faith and what is happening in your life. In chapter 12 and verse number 2, chapter 12 of Hebrews verse 2, how are we going over there, brother? Yes, amen. I don't look at the screen, otherwise anyway we'll be in real trouble. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. That was last Wednesday night. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking to Christ. He is the author. He originates it. He finishes it. He that hath begun a good work in you, according to Philippians 1:6, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He's working in you to develop that faith, to strengthen that faith, to increase that faith. And the disciples did the right thing when they said, Lord, increase our faith. And they asked for that, so can we. But we must look at our Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith must lay a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no room for doubting. Faith must take over. If faith is not taking over and growing, then doubting is growing. Do not doubt. That's the devil's diversion and way of deluding and deceiving God's people. Don't listen to him. Just keep looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. He humbled himself. Humble yourself under God. Ask for that faith. See our Lord Jesus Christ, the wonderful conqueror, that Christ of God who conquered, who is now indwelling you. How amazing is that? Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's indwelling you by the Holy Spirit. Faith must believe that and act upon that wonderful truth of the indwelling of Christ and must live accordingly. In Galatians chapter 2 at verse 20, Galatians 2 and 20, Galatians 2:20. You know, it's a good thing when the preaching is going on to look at the verses, to underline them, make sure you bring your Bible with you in this service. I know it's helpful to have it on the screen. Galatians 2:20, and a wonderful life verse to take and to seek to live by. Not always easy to live by this particular verse. But however, it is so important. Chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. You see, the believer then must not trust in himself. He must see himself as having died with Christ when Christ died. Nevertheless, I live. Christ then lives through us. It's a living faith and a living life that we have. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He lived by the faith of the Son of God, walking with the Lord, walking in fellowship with Christ. He lived by the faith of the Son of God, that wonderful Saviour of souls and our Saviour, who died for our sins and came into our heart when we received him as our Lord. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ and let your mind get excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let your mind be excited by the Saviour, the Creator of all things, the Sustainer, the Redeemer, the All-Powerful One, the One that is all-knowledge, omniscient, He knows everything, the One that is all-present, omnipresent, everywhere, the One that is living in glory, He's a living Saviour, the One who is Lord of all and Healer, the Resurrection and the Life, the Provider of all our needs, the answer to all of our problems, and the answerer of our prayers. There is no other. There is none like the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other religious leader like him. There is no one that has done the miracles that he has done. There is no one in history of the whole world forever from its creation till now that has ever done what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And if you study his life, how convincing it is and how wonderful it is to see these miracles that God has done. The Hallelujah Chorus was first performed in England by its writer, an Englishman who wrote the Hallelujah Chorus. Queen Victoria was called upon to attend this amazing production of the Hallelujah Chorus. It's all the singing of Scripture. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's the singing of Scripture. It is Scripture being put into beautiful music. Yes, it is a beautiful music. It is classical music. It is King James language. And so they begin to get to the point where they're rejoicing in what Christ has done. And the Hallelujah begins. The Hallelujah begins. And it begins at one level. I'm no musician. And it goes then up and to another level. And it raises up yet again. And the congregation were so moved by the Hallelujah Chorus that they stood. And they all looked at Queen Victoria, who was still seated. And the Hallelujahs lifted up. And then it broke out into the section where it lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shall reign, King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forever and ever. King of kings, Lord of lords, and he shall reign forever and ever. King of kings and Lord of lords. Queen Victoria stood to her feet and bowed her head before him, acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ. Why does history hate Queen Victoria and record her so badly? Because she was a Christian. Why is she subject to so much fake news? Because she was a Christian and acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't vouch for all that she did in her life, but she had a faith in Christ and she acknowledged him publicly in that way. The monarchy was at its strength, its strongest point, when it bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how we need to bow our knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. How we need to see him by faith and bow the knee to him, that we might grow in him. Oh, that we would be more like him, that our mustard seed faith would be put into action, and that great things would come out of that, that our little faith would result in big answers, that our increase of faith would be real, and that God would bless us and our lives together as a church and in our individual homes and families as God gives and as God blesses. And it's wonderful to see young couples and little ones popping up here and there and everywhere, and a new one just last week, and James's back there, he survived it, but I don't know what about his poor wife, how's she doing? And now another little one popped up. That's more faith, brother. That's extra faith. And you know, as you get to number 10, you're going to need a lot of faith. Hallelujah. But the faith must grow as the family grows. And I think the same in the church family as well, how the faith must grow. It's great to see that happening. And as we draw to a close, we think about a particular situation in Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. I'm going to ask you to turn with me there. Luke 5, 17. You've been good. Luke 5, 17. Luke 5, 17. You've been a blessing to this preacher. Luke 5, 17. In 5, 17 of Luke and following is an amazing story. Of four men who had a paralytic friend or relative who wanted to get him to Jesus. The place was packed out. The house was packed out. They were inside and outside. They were everywhere. But these four men thought, well, they're not on the roof. They're not blocking the stairs. And their faith raised up and they grabbed hold of this fella, carried him up onto the roof, broke open the tiles and whatever was up there. Imagine how they must have felt downstairs as the roof starts breaking open. The Lord's there trying to preach and teach. They must have thought, what's going on? Woo. And so it was that down through the roof came this man, born of four. Born of four. The faith of these four men lifted him up, carried him to the roof, lowered him down. And the Lord wonderfully moved and did a miracle here for this man. Behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find that way, they might bring him in because of the multitude. They went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, now I want to emphasize that. Here's the man lowered down, and Jesus saw what? Their faith. Brothers and sisters, this is really a description of what it's like church life is all about in regard to the outreach and reaching the lost. The born of four, their faith was instrumental in bringing that man to the point where the Lord could work and touch this man and forgive his sins and save him and deliver him from this terrible palsy that he had, where he had no strength to stand and his limbs would move with involuntary movement, and he was in a very weak condition. There was no way that he could have done anything about getting to the top of that roof unless those four people were there. It's the same with the outreach and ministry of your life. There are people out there that have no faith, that are in need. They are maybe the worst of the community, but they are out there in need. And your faith will make a difference for them. The faith of these four men made a difference for that man. And the Lord was able to move mightily and change that man's life, to forgive his sins and to cleanse him. And by the way, that's more important than the physical healing. Amen. Or may we get an emphasis on the spiritual healing needs above the physical. Do not elevate the physical. Don't always bring prayer requests for the physical. Bring prayer requests that have to do with the spiritual. Because if the Lord takes care of the spiritual in many people's lives, they'll be like this man. They'll get their strength back again. Amen. They'll have strength to do what they need to do. I'm not saying that the Lord will heal everyone. I'm not saying that everyone should not be in a wheelchair. I'm not saying that everybody should be running across the stage saying they're healed. I'm not saying that we ought to get around and saying you're like that because you don't have enough faith. If you had faith like I do, you'd be able to get a brand new jet. Come on, give us a break. Here we have then these men that had four men born of four to carry this one and to lift him up. That's the ministry of the church. That's what it's all about. If we haven't got that meaning, if we lose that objective, we lose everything in the end. And there'd just be a few old ladies sitting around praying for the rest of the world that it would come to the Lord. And how sad that would be. Oh, we need people that are full of vitality, that are filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. Oh, that's what we need. Amen. Lord, increase our faith. And there are so many illustrations through the gospel of the Lord's work in answer to faith. God loves faith. God honors faith. God is pleased with faith. Faith is what we need and how we need to pray for God to increase our faith. It says in the last days over in Revelation 2:13, Pergamos was a church that was greatly persecuted. I mean, persecuted with all manner of terrible things. This was the time when people were thrown to the lions in the Colosseum. This was a time when their eyes were burned out with hot pokers. This was a time when hands were chopped off and everything was so much against. This was a time when Rome thought they were doing a good thing by persecuting and killing Bible believers. And God said about this wonderful church of Pergamos, "Thou hast not denied my faith." They had continued in the faith despite the opposition. Oh, but how sad in 1 Timothy 4, prophetically concerning the last days, there would be people who depart from the faith. How sad is that in 1 Timothy 4:1? Speaks about people who depart from the faith. Do not depart from the faith. Hold to the faith. Pray that God will increase our faith. Look to the Lord Jesus who won the victory over the enemy. Oh, and continue to step forward by faith. The steps of faith fall upon the seeming void, but find the rock, Christ Jesus, beneath. Oh, how we can trust God in these days. How we can trust our Saviour. How that we might grow in faith. How that we might do great exploits for the souls of men by faith. Let's bow in prayer.